Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 26th day of March, 2021. I'm thrilled to have back on the program a returning guest by the name of Doug Wilson, a conservative, reformed, and evangelical theologian, pastor at Christ Church in Moscow, Idaho, faculty member at New St. Andrews College, author and speaker, founder of Canon Press, host of the Applied Theology podcast, and blogger at Blog and Mayblog. Today we are going to be addressing an update on Stickergate and the political scam of white supremacy slander. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Doug Wilson.
Thank you. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. And before we get into the topic at hand, for our listeners that have not heard you on the program before and may not be familiar with you, I'm sure that they are very small in number if they're not familiar with you. I'm assuming the vast majority of my listeners know who you are. But why don't you let our listeners know about Christ Church in Moscow, Idaho?
Sure. I'm the senior pastor at Christ Church. Moscow, Idaho is up in the panhandle of Idaho, up north. I've been the pastor here for 40 plus years. We are a member of the Communion of Reformed Evangelical Churches, the CREC. That's basically it. The pastorate is my day job, preaching and involvement in the church. And I also write and blog at Blog and Mayblog.
And tell us something I don't think I've asked you before, something about not only the polity there, but also what one might expect when visiting Christ Church, what kind of worship service they may experience. Is it more of a liturgical worship, etc.? Tell us something more about that.
I describe what we do at Christ Church as sort of high church Puritan. So it's a structured liturgical service. Most people would just think of it as a traditional worship service. We don't do robes or candles or anything like that. That's not what I mean. I don't wear a collar. I don't preach in a robe. But it's a formal set liturgy where there's a call to worship, and then there's a time of confession, and we all kneel for confession. And then there's the assurance of pardon, and then the preaching of the word, and we sing quite a bit over the hour and a half. We probably sing 10 to 12 songs, somewhere in there. So we sing a lot, message. We have the Lord's Supper, every week. So it's a structured liturgical service, but it's not Anglo-Catholic or anything like that.
And when you said that there's a time of confession, is this basically a general congregational confession, or do individuals publicly announce?
It's both. So we all kneel together, and then the minister who's officiating at that part of the service will pray a prayer of confession that's corporate, that's involves the nation or the Christian church or, you know, a general corporate prayer of confession. And then there is a period of silence where everyone is invited to confess their own sins individually.
Yeah, that's something that you don't hear too often in evangelical churches. I think that is something very biblical and refreshing to hear. And as far as the polity, are you more Presbyterian, Episcopalian? How would you feel?
We're basically Presbyterians. I tell people that we're Presbyterians who believe the Bible.
Yes, and even our conservative Presbyterian friends that actually wear the name Presbyterian are typically the first to fully admit that there are many Presbyterian churches out there, perhaps the majority, that wear that name that are either very far to the left or even over the boundaries of apostasy. So I'm sure any Presbyterian worth his salt listening would take no offense by what you just said.
Right.
And if anybody wants more information about Christ Church in Moscow, Idaho, all you have to do is go to christkirk.com, Kirk being the Scottish word for church, Christkirk, K-I-R-K.com. And if you want more information about all of Doug Wilson's activities and other ministries outside of the realm of a Christ Church, you could go to DougWills.com, an abbreviation for Doug Wilson. Doug Wills, Doug and W-I-L-S, only one L, .com. Well, as I already announced, we are going to be addressing today first an update on Stickergate, and then we're going to eventually be addressing the political scam of white supremacy slander, which we hear every single day, multiple times a day in the media. But tell us, what on earth is Stickergate?
Yeah, what is it? I believe that you have had my friend Gabe Wrench on your show.
Yes.
Before. So some people might be aware of Moscow, Idaho. Isn't that the place where they arrested the people of the phone thing? And yes, that is correct. We, to just give you a little bit of background, Latah County, where we are, is and has been one of the most lightly touched areas of the country when it comes to COVID. So, the other places have been hard hit, but not here. And, it was a very, minimal effect. And yet our progressive city council issued a mask mandate, the whole deal, right? And when it became apparent that they were, doing this, it was a political sort of thing, and they extended the mask mandate in a way that was just completely unnecessary, given our circumstances. Our church scheduled a psalm sing at City Hall. Now we've done psalm sings. We've done Christmas carol sings outdoors and psalm sings periodically for years. It's just something we do, where we sing in the public square, reserve it, and spend time singing, praising God there. And so we scheduled this one at City Hall. Edict or the ordinance that the city council had passed had carved out an exemption for political speech and for religious activity. When we did this protest at City Hall, everything we did was completely and entirely legal. Okay? So, but nonetheless, three of our people were arrested at the psalm sing, and there was a great deal of pother and to and froing over, you know, a number of weeks. When, at the end of which, the city finally dropped the charges against those three, acknowledging that the arrests had been illegal. So, we knew what was in the ordinance, and they did not know what was in their own ordinance. All right, so that's the setup for all this. And just over the course of this last week, the three people who were arrested have filed suit in federal court against the city of Moscow and against some of the individuals who were involved in the arrest, not for a zillion dollars, but for their court costs incurred while defending themselves. So that's the setup. Right after those arrests happened, my son, Nate Wilson, or he writes under the name of N.D. Wilson, my son and his business partner, Aaron Wrench, who is the brother of Gabe Wrench, one of the arrested, we're trying to figure out a humorous, light-touch response to the tyranny, the overreach of arresting people at a psalm sing, for pity's sake. And so they came up with the idea of printing up little stickers, little red stickers that said Soviet Moscow enforced because we care. And so these little stickers had a hammer and sickle. There was a red sticker with a yellow printing, hammer and sickle in the middle, Soviet Moscow enforced because we care. Because that enforced because we care is the motto of our city on the mask mandate. And so Nate gave them to different people, had, you know, put it on his coffee cup, and they had these stickers. Well, in the aftermath of these arrests, my two of my grandsons, one who's 19 and one who's 14, went downtown at like 3 a.m. and were putting stickers on poles and such. Now, if you know anything about how poles and stickers in college towns go,
yeah,
light poles are basically bulletin boards.
Right.
And
I live right down the street, about one block away from Dickinson College, so I know the drill there.
Okay, so they put these stickers up, and they were stopped by some cops, and the police asked Rory for ID, and Rory said something like, "I thought that Idaho was not a stop and identify state," which it isn't. He was correct on that. Well, he was then handcuffed and sat down on the sidewalk, and he
Wow.
was separated from his brother. They were basically arrested and questioned, interrogated, and whatnot, but not taken into custody. So if you take the legal definition of an arrest, Rory, the oldest grandson, met 4 out of 4, and the younger grandson, whose name I'm withholding because of his age, met 3 out of 4. So then they called Nate, my son. He came down and got them. They released them. Nothing happened. About a week later, papers were served at the Wilson household, indicating that they were going to be charged, the three of them. Nate, Rory, and my youngest grandson were going to be charged with 13 counts of putting stickers up. Now, each charge is a misdemeanor and can earn you up to 6 months in prison.
Wow.
So the boys were threatened with basically 6 years in prison, and Nate was charged, and his offense was having had the stickers made. Okay, so he was asleep when the stickers were being put up, and he's being charged with having made the stickers, and the boys were charged with putting them up. Just recently, the charges have been dialed back to 1 count instead of 13 counts, because I think the city is realizing what an impossible position they put themselves in. Because it's just, well, the other thing is, the ordinance that they were charged with violating has never, in the history of Moscow, has never had anybody charged under that ordinance until now.
That is Moscow, Idaho, of course.
Moscow, Idaho. Right. So then things are going along. They've done a number of things illegally. My youngest grandson was being tried as a juvenile, and the juvenile judge was removed in the middle of a Zoom trial, and another judge replaced him, which was totally illegal. It's against the law to do what they're doing. So there was a motion to dismiss, lots of legal drama back and forth, a motion to dismiss the judge who did the wrong decided against the motion to dismiss. And so there's as we speak, there's a trial coming up. I'm hoping that the lawsuit that was just filed in federal court by Gabe and Sean and Rachel Bonet is going to make the city think twice about what they're doing. It's really untenable. But I think they've gotten themselves into a situation where they can't go forward and they can't go back. They've got a grizzly bear by the ears and they can't let go.
Now, was this something, as far as the police officer involved, or plural officers, was it something they were interested to be involved in? Were they enthusiastic in their arresting and so on, your family members, or were they
remote? No, I don't think they knew who they were when they stopped them, and I think it was just somebody called, and hey, they're doing this, and so they did what they did, and then they let them go. I don't think the cops were expecting any kind of prosecution from it. But then a week later, the prosecuting attorney made the decision to go ahead, and by that time, they did know who they were. And so my view is that they're being prosecuted because their last name is the same as mine.
You know, this is amazing because your local governing authorities are, in their actions, are actually proving the legitimacy of the comical stickers with the hammer and sickle. I mean,
yeah.
it's like saying, "How dare you call me a racist? I'm going to burn a cross on your lawn." You know,
that's exactly what it is.
Utterly amazing. So now you're just basically waiting to see the outcome of the.
Right.
The next hearing.
Right.
Well, our listeners should pray for Doug Wilson's family about that, and I assume that you are going to be maintaining updates on that at DougWills.com.
Will do, yes.
And by the way, folks, for similar issues, I have interviewed just very recently, a few days ago, the attorney for James Coates, the pastor teacher at Grace Life Church of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, who was just released from jail. I interviewed James Kitchen, who is James Coates' attorney, on the arrest, incarceration, and release of a pastor who refused to stop holding church. And I intend to interview James Coates himself once he has the opportunity to spend a few more days of rest and relaxation with his family. And you can find that interview on IronSharpensIronRadio.com. All you have to do is type in Kitchen. He's the only person I ever interviewed with that last name. You just like the room in your house where you cook food, Kitchen. Just type that in the search engine at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. Also, I have interviewed Ernie Springer, my own personal physician, Dr. Joel Yeager, and Dr. Daniel O'Rourke, on their book, Coronavirus and the Leadership of the Christian Church, A Sacred Trust Broken. All three of these men are vehemently opposed to shutting down churches because of the coronavirus hysteria that is going on. And in fact, my doctor that I just mentioned, Dr. Joel Yeager, who is a co-author of this book, he does not believe in mask wearing. He says trying to keep coronavirus away with masks is like trying to keep mosquitoes away with a chain link fence. And no one in his office wears masks. So I think you'll find not only his book interesting, but the interviews I've done too so far with Well, three of them, and I've done one with my doctor alone, which was actually at the tail end of James Kitchen's interview. And if you type in Springer, that's Ernie Springer, one of the co-authors' last name. He's also the only one I've ever interviewed with that last name. If you type in Springer, S-P-R-I-N-G-E-R, you'll get all of the interviews involving that book. Well, now we are going to be entering into one of these issues that you could be easily accused of being a racist for even addressing this subject and for doubting the legitimacy of many accusations of racism. We are going to be discussing the political scam of white supremacy slander. And when did this start to enter into your mind, seeing what was going on in the world and in this nation, that made you think, now wait a minute, this has really become out of control, this is insane, this is nothing but slander? I just saw Vody Balcom not long ago conduct a seminar in Pennsylvania on critical race theory. He is vehemently opposed to it, as anyone who knows Vody Balcom would immediately guess. And he, during one of his lectures, he brought up the fact that in one of the Lego movies that his kids love, there's a little song that is sung in the movie, "Everything is awesome, awesome, awesome." So throughout one of his lectures against critical race theory, Vody would interject now and again at poignant parts, "Everything is racist, racist, racist," because it seems that everything is racist these days, even things that it is mind-boggling to even detect any connection at all with that sin of bigotry. But if you could, tell us about when you first started to get your ire up over this. What were the circumstances, and how long ago was that?
I probably started having my first difficulties with these things, these issues, when I was in high school, back in the late 60s. I graduated in 71. But it's very different now from the way it began. It was really strange. If you don't mind my sharing a little bit of autobiography here.
Sure.
I grew up in Annapolis, Maryland, in the 1950s. And if you know Maryland, the northern border of Maryland is the Mason-Dixon line. And so Maryland was very much a southern sort of place. It was a border state in the war between the states, but it was very much like Virginia. The only reason Maryland didn't secede in the Civil War is that Lincoln arrested the state legislature so that they couldn't. So I grew up in that town, and the public schools, I went to public schools, the public schools were segregated. I went to the white elementary school. There was a black elementary school just a little over a block away from our house, but I went to the white elementary school. It was a couple miles away. And then the Supreme Court decision came down. There was this integration mandate, and white flight began. So a number of private, a bunch of white families fled, and some of them, I'm sure, for reasons of bigotry. Others, I think, for reasons of wanting to protect their kids from unrest and, you know, all kinds. There are all sorts of reasons. But there was white flight. My dad, at the time, we were in the southern city. My dad didn't want to have any part of that. And so I went to the middle school I went to was the former black high school. And so I was all part of that, the churn of a segregated southern type culture being integrated by fiat. And at that time, our family was simply you know, bigotry is bad. We don't want to participate in that. We want to stay put and cooperate. So that's what we did. Well, then we moved up to Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is where I went to high school. And when we got to Ann Arbor, the climate was completely different. So we were in the southern setting. My folks were evangelicals, not all that politically active. But if you tag them with anything, it would be as sympathizers with the efforts at integration and whatnot. Well, then when we got to Ann Arbor, which is basically a commie stronghold, it was a leftist sort of place. My high school had an SDS chapter, you know, the Students for Democratic Society. And I remember coming out of homeroom one time and walking out of homeroom, and there was a line of policemen running by with their clubs out. There was a race riot. There was a race riot in the high school. I was there. So I walked around to the front of the school after seeing the cops run by. And by the time I got to the front of the school, which was just a few minutes later, there was already an attorney representing the rioters standing on the front steps, declaiming for the cameras. Okay. In other words, I had seen actual racial prejudice in the town I grew up in, where it was aimed at blacks. Basically, I saw the real thing, and disapproved of it, as I think all consistent Christians ought to. But then when we were in Ann Arbor, we saw something. We saw the hustle was being run the other direction. The hustle was being run the other way. Now, initially, I thought, okay, this is just, these people have been aggrieved and put upon and mistreated for a long time, and what they're doing is they're reacting and they're overreacting. Okay? And basically the line was, you white people don't know how badly you've treated us, and let us explain to you how badly you've treated us. That was the setup then. Now, it's morphed into something else. And what it is because we've successfully gotten to the point where the overt racism, the overt bigotry that I remember from when I was a boy is now disapproved of by everybody in every direction. Nobody supports it. What do you do when you've got a racism industry that successfully stamps out racism? Well, if you want to keep your industry going, you have to discover ever finer, ever more pestilent forms of racism.
Yeah, what on earth would Al Sharpton do for a living if racism were to disappear?
That's exactly right. So I believe that the race hustlers, and I distinguish race hustlers from civil rights advocates. So civil rights advocates, God bless them, race hustlers are a different thing, okay? The race hustlers are people who see their main chance and want to jump at it, and they can make their dreams come true by riding the race train. Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, people like that are hustlers.
In fact, we have to pick up right where you left off there with the race hustlers, because we have to go to our first break. And we'll pick up right where you left off. If anybody wants to join us with a question of your own, send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York. and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle All-In 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned in, our guest today for the full 2 hours is Doug Wilson, and we are now discussing the very controversial theme, the political scam of white supremacy slander. If you have a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And right before the break, Doug, you were distinguishing between the race hucksters and the civil rights advocates.
A civil rights advocate is someone who thinks that basically the law should be colorblind. So, and you can see, and this is something, although I have problems with Martin Luther King Jr.'s larger agenda, there's a phrase that he used in his famous I Have a Dream speech that I do agree with, where we ought to judge people by the content of their character and not by the color of their skin.
Amen.
Well, right? And that is basically a statement that he approved of the idea that Lady Justice be blindfolded. That when a case comes up before her, she doesn't need to know what color you are in order to find out what happened. So you follow the biblical rules of evidence, two and three witnesses, independent confirmation, ability to confront your accusers, the assumption of innocence, you know, all of those things. Now, we've gotten to the point where if there's a shooting, like we just did within the last week or so, we've had two. We had the shooting in Atlanta where most of the victims were Asian and the alleged perpetrator was white. And then we had the shooting in Boulder, Colorado, where all the victims were white and the perpetrator was a Muslim ISIS sympathizer, right? Now, the thing that is astonishing is we've gotten to the point where people don't want to say what they think of it until they find out what color the people doing it. What color were the people dying, and what color were the people doing killing? What color were they? Because I can't tell you what I think of it until then. Well, Christians should say, well, we object to murder, period. Right? The victims in Atlanta and the victims in Boulder We're all created in the image of God, and the people who took their lives didn't have the right to do so. And I don't need to know what color you are before I weigh in on what I think happened. So we've gotten to the point where the one thing we absolutely refuse to do is judge people by the content of their character, and we rush to judge them by the color of their skin. And this is, not only is it a failure to live up to the civil rights, the laudable civil rights goals, it is a full-scale assault on them. The people who are woke today, people who are flying under the woke banner, are enemies of civil rights.
Yeah, it is really amazing how not long ago, color blindness was a virtue, not the kind of color blindness that I actually have, where I can't distinguish between blue and purple and orange and green. the color blindness in regard to Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, that we are not to judge people according to the color of their skin, but according to the content of their character. It was very recently when universally liberals and right-thinking, biblically moral conservatives agreed that that was true.
Right.
In fact, the Bible even goes further than that. We're not supposed to judge people according to what clothing they're wearing. If they are rich and they show up at church with the finest of clothing and somebody from the street comes in with rags, we're not supposed to treat them differently. And we could go on and on how we're not supposed to treat different people differently because of their appearance. But today, that's racist? I don't even understand that. How can you come to that conclusion in the 21st century that being colorblind is racist?
What you have to do is, if actual overt bigotry is on the run, and it's hard to find it anywhere. You can still find it if you know where to look. But it was largely exiled from public life. If you have an economic incentive to be able to still keep finding racism, you have to set the mesh on your filters at a finer and finer to a finer and finer scale. So basically, another phrase we see now is white supremacy. Okay, well, if you say, what does white supremacy mean? If someone says, well, it means that whites are superior to all other races, then that's a problem and we should talk to that guy. But what it's come to mean is that this country is still predominantly white. And so consequently, there are certain assumptions that people make that are just baked into that, right? But here's the thing. It's just the way it is. It's the way life is. There's nothing objectionable about it. If I were to move, let's say I uprooted my family from northern Idaho and we all moved to Norway, and we moved up to the northern end of Norway, right? And then let's say, having moved there, I started complaining about Norwegian supremacy.
I happen to be half Norwegian, so I agree with that. I'm only kidding.
Right. So I go to the grocery store, and there's all this Norwegian food. I go to a restaurant, and there's all these Norwegian dishes. I turn on the radio, and there's all these Norwegian songs. And I think, well, look, you moved to Norway, right? Now, the Bible does teach that Norwegian Christians should be watching out for the stranger and the alien in the land. That's a biblical thing. But it's biblical to watch out for the person who's the fish out of water. That's a good thing to do. But it's not a good thing to do to start apologizing for the existence of the water, right? And that's what we've started to do. So you grew up in a white family and in a white neighborhood, and most of your friends are white, and you don't know what it's like to be black in Africa. Well, that's right. God didn't put me there. God put me here. there's no sin in being with your people. There's no sin in being more comfortable with cultural things that you are used to. There's no sin in having moments of awkwardness when you're trying to communicate with someone from a different cultural background. The thing I like to tell people is that, I want to go back to this, one of the things that the left has done very well, or by well, I mean effectively, is they've made racism a sin. But the Bible doesn't talk about, there's only one race, and it's the human race. Or if you want to go in a theological direction, there are two races. There's the human race in Adam, and then there's a new human race in Christ.
Exactly. And in fact, I believe that, for instance, the white parents of a white daughter are in sin if they are happier that their white daughter is marrying a non-Christian white man than if they were to see their white daughter marrying a Christian black man. I believe that they would be in sin preferring the daughter marrying somebody of their own skin color but who denies the Christian faith.
That is exactly correct, right? So my fundamental allegiance is to my brothers and sisters in Christ. So I have more in common with a black brother who loves Jesus Christ than I do with a fellow white person who doesn't love Jesus Christ, because the two believers are members of the new human race as opposed to our old membership in the old human race that was under the wrath of God. So fundamentally, there's only one human race, right? Now, there are various ethnic groups, ethnicities. So but even there, that's skin color is just one component. Cultures, what the Bible would call, we get the word ethnic from the Greek word for the nations. So in the Great Commission, we're told to disciple the ethnoi, all the tribes. We're to disciple all the nations of men. But those nations are comprised of things like religion, language, culture, geography, and racial types, what we call racial types, like skin color, things like that, ethnic traits. So if I am talking to, let's just take it out of the realm of the two human races, the believers and non-believers, and I'm talking to a black man who grew up in the same town that I did, went to the same schools I did, has the same culture, you know, an affinity with a number of the things that I have an affinity for. And then we went over to South Africa, the two of us, and we talked to a white man and a black man there. And that white man is Dutch, and the black man is Zulu. Okay? This black man, just even on a national, tribal level, this black man and I, my fellow American, we have more in common than we do with the people on another continent who happen to share the same skin color. So the skin tint is one of the least relevant circumstances that you can take into account. Family culture, broader culture, language, expectations, all of these are really important. So, for example, in Thomas Sowell, whom I love, Thomas Sowell,
oh, yeah.
He's just a marvelous thinker. I read a book.
He's about 90 now, I think, and he's like still as sharp as he ever was.
Yeah, he's just fantastic. I read a book of his called Pink and Brown People. Pink and Brown People. And he pointed out, he had the research to back himself up. He pointed out that blacks in America who were of West Indian descent, who were like, for example, from the Bahamas, as opposed to blacks in America who were not of that West Indies descent, had remarkably diverse outcomes in their lives here in America. But his point was that a racist can't tell the difference, right? Two black men in the American South are both the same to a racist. He can't see past the skin color. But he said if you looked at the blacks from of West Indies descent, they were far more successful in life than their counterparts. And the reason was because of family expectations, family cohesion, you know, things that the racist isn't going to take into account at all. So the thing that we have to come to grips with is that you can't blame everything on skin tint. It's ludicrous.
In fact, you shouldn't blame anything on skin tint.
Right.
The melanin content is, when you think about how utterly insane it is to treat somebody differently because of the melanin content in their skin, it's mind-boggling how anybody ever began to do this.
Right.
But we have to go to our midway break right now, and I hope that you folks are patient because, as always, the midway break is a bit longer than the other breaks in the show because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them localizing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, geographically, and all of their program for that matter. So what they do is, while we air our globally heard commercials, they air their own public service announcements and other local things to localize the show to Lake City, Florida. So please be patient. Also, use this time wisely. Please write down as much of the information as you can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully reply to them, respond to them, and whenever possible, patronize them. And when you can't actually patronize them, you can't buy their products, you can't use their services, you can't visit their churches, well, at least reach out to them to thank them for sponsoring the show, if indeed you love the show and you don't want it to disappear. Just contact them through whatever information they provide in their ads and thank them. Say, I thank you so much for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please continue to do so, et cetera, et cetera, if indeed you love the show. That will go a long way, brothers and sisters, for helping us keep on the air because we absolutely positively depend on our advertisers and the finances that come through our advertisers to exist. So write down the information they provide in their ads and also write down questions for Doug Wilson on the issue that we are addressing today, the very controversial issue at hand today, the political scam of white supremacy slander. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com gives your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnson and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance, as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333, or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended, then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody's ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, every single book you purchase from solid-ground-books.com is helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. They are a premier, a vital sponsor of this program. We would likely not continue to exist without the finances they provide through their advertising. So please go frequently and purchase generously at solid-ground-books.com, always mentioning that you heard about them from Chris Arnson at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And keep in mind, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor by keeping an advertiser happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor, because they carry the finest in Christian literature from the past and the present. Great men of God who have written absolutely spectacular works from centuries ago, and even contemporary authors like Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's solid-ground-books.com. We are going to be returning to Doug Wilson momentarily. I just want to remind you that if you want this program to remain on the air, please visit ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, a physical mailing address will appear on your screen where you can mail a check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please never siphon money away from your regular giving to your own local church where you're a member in order to give to us. In other words, don't punish your own church by blessing us financially. And also, if you're really struggling to survive, wait a while until you're back on your feet before donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, because I do not want you to put yourself in further financial jeopardy if you're having a real hard time making ends meet. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture: providing for your church and your family. Providing for my radio show is not a command of God, obviously. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, providing for church and family, and you love the show and you don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could also advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, I can help you find one, perhaps, God willing, no matter where on the planet Earth you live. I have helped people all over the world find churches that are biblically sound, sometimes right around the corner from where they live, that they didn't even know existed, or they didn't know that the churches that they pass by every day were biblically sound. I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the globe. So wherever you live, send me an email if you are in that predicament of not having a biblically sound church. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. "I need a church" in the subject line. And that's also the email address to send in a question to our guest, Doug Wilson. We are talking about the political scam of white supremacy slander. Again, the email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence, if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we do have a listener in Kinross, Scotland. His name is Murray, and Murray in Kinross, Scotland says, "Just a couple of questions that occur to me with regard to what is being discussed regarding whether skin color matters. Did the Shulamite woman need to mention that she was black in the Song of Solomon? Should believers be bothered that our Lord Jesus is often portrayed as being white rather than of Middle Eastern appearance?" And this is Murray from Kinross, Scotland. Do you have any comments on that, Doug?
Sure. First, Murray, what a great Scottish name. Good job.
well, congratulate his parents for that.
Yeah, so the mention of the "I am dark but comely" in the Song of Solomon doesn't have the, there's no problem with that being mentioned, obviously, because it's in Scripture. But that is the sort of, reading that in our modern racial sense would be genuinely anachronistic. It wouldn't have the same connotations for them as for us. So, was she referring to the fact that she was a shepherdess that worked outdoors and was tanned or sunburned, or was, we have no reason for thinking that it was an ethnic issue.
Joseph in the Old Testament was referred to as ruddy, or perhaps it was David. Or maybe they both were.
Yeah, it was David. Yeah, David.
Okay.
Esau was red, probably. So anyway, we want to make sure that we don't read our modern ethnic tensions back into an ancient setting where it wouldn't have had the same import at all. That's the first thing. The second thing is that it's not that whites paint Christ as white. It's the Chinese. Well, first, I'm Reformed. I don't think we ought to be painting portraits of Jesus in any color.
Right. One of my few disagreements with R.C. Sproul was having the giant picture of Jesus in the narthex of the church there at St. Andrews.
So on Second Commandment issues, I don't think we ought to be painting portraits of Christ. But let's sidestep that and make it a picture of the Apostle Paul or, a picture of Joseph and Mary, something like that. If I go to China and I see their artists painting them as Chinese, and I see black artists in Africa doing the same, I don't think anything of it. We do that. If you watch Kenneth Branagh's Henry VIII, so Henry VIII, played by Kenneth Branagh, has a serious case of 80s hair. because the movie was made in the 80s, it's just a human trait that we tend to project onto ancient times, things that we take for granted that are invisible to us. But someone from outside our culture could point out, hey, that's historically inaccurate. And I would say, yeah, that's historically inaccurate. I grant that Jesus was not blue-eyed, brown hair, he wasn't
blonde hair.
And we should, long, flowing hair, looked like he was in a Clairol commercial. I object to pictures of Jesus where someone is making the serious point that he belonged to my particular ethnic group. But if it's just a human foible where you tend to think of, if someone says, hey, how do you imagine Adam and Eve? What race? I think Adam and Eve are probably closer to Chinese than anything, right? And, or Noah and his wife. If they're coming off the ark and you've got a picture of them and he looks like, Noah looks like a Mongol chieftain, and that brings you up short, then, okay, you were reading too much of your own modern ethnocentrism into the ancient world. But it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I guess a lot of it has to do with the motivation behind why someone is made to look a certain way, even though there is biblical evidence that they weren't from the region that the painting would imply. But we don't typically know the motives of somebody's paintings.
Right. There could be a good story that I can illustrate this with. It doesn't have to do with ethnicity, but it illustrates how background assumptions can dominate your thinking. When I was in the Navy, I was in the submarine service, and we went to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. And I was a Cold War kid, grew up in the 50s and 60s. I mentioned earlier, grew up in Annapolis, Maryland, which is close to D.C., which meant that our school used to have nuclear war drills, right? what to do with all the kids in case of nuclear war. Well, I grew up in this Cold War setting, and I joined the Navy, I joined the submarine service, and we were going to Cuba. Now, Guantanamo Bay is held by, we hold that, but the country is communist country. And I remember vividly the moment I came up out of the hatch, we were sailing into the harbor, I came up out of the hatch and got my first glimpse of Cuba. And I was startled. I was surprised, whoa. And I was startled. I suddenly realized I was startled because it was in color. And I thought, what on earth? Well, I had grown up, my picture of communist countries was a grainy newsprint photo of Budapest in the rain. Right? I thought of communism in black and white. I'd done that my whole life. And then I saw this emerald green tropical paradise communist country, and I was surprised. Well, I had never given a moment's thought to that. Right? It was just an unspoken assumption. And I don't think anybody ought to be faulted for that kind of thing. It's just amusing. So when you assume that Noah and his wife were Caucasian and someone paints them as Oriental, you think, well, that's interesting. But if you cling tenaciously, no, they had to have been suburban white people, then you've got a problem.
Yeah. And if they were depicting Moses and his wife, they would have to be different in appearance, because Moses' sister was very bigoted against his wife, and God struck her white with leprosy as a result of her sin.
Right, because Moses had married a Cushite woman in Numbers chapter 12.
And that would be normally understood as a black person, wouldn't it?
Right, from Ethiopia.
Right.
And also, interestingly, little free information, Josephus, that's not scripture, but Josephus tells the backstory of that. As Josephus recounts it, when Moses was still a prince in Egypt, before he left for Midian the first time, he had besieged a city named Saba, and the queen of the city had fallen in love with him from the city wall and offered to surrender the city if he would marry her. And so he agreed. The city fell, and Josephus says that that's where his wife came from. Now, apparently, she had not gone out with the Exodus, but shows up in the camp later. And my guess is that it threw the balance of power off, and Miriam was, I think it was a little bit of palace intrigue where Miriam objected to the arrival of this new important person. But she was an Ethiopian princess.
We have a listener named Susan in Isatoket, Long Island, New York. Doesn't have a question, but has a word of, I think, affectionate warning for you.
Okay.
She says, Doug should be very careful because his name is high on the condemnation list at the Southern Poverty Law Center. Yes, and an evangelical Christian should actually wear that as a badge of honor, shouldn't they?
Yeah. I like to say the Southern Poverty Law Center, the world's richest civil rights organization.
Yeah, right. Now, why do they dislike you? Why don't you explain that?
Well, they put us on a list of hate groups and stuff in the past years ago. And I think that basically their reason for doing it is to raise money from liberals, because the liberals need to believe that white evangelicals are the biggest threat to our country right now. And if whenever there's fear, there's a fundraising opportunity. And so the Southern Poverty Law Center has made a lot of money out of scaring people with tales of, you know, doom and, you know, dire danger coming from people like us when we just want to be left alone.
Yeah, so basically, in other words, nobody should take seriously anything they have to say. They are a slander factory, are they not?
They are. So they put groups, smaller groups like ours, on their list, but they've also targeted people like the Family Research Council, I think, and, you know, just crazy things.
Well, thank you, Susan, in East Setauket, Long Island, New York. Now, let's get into the heart of why this is more than just something annoying, and more than something that can very seriously disrupt or, in an earthly sense, ruin the life of a person, a family, a business, a church, if they are falsely accused of racism, when there is absolutely no basis for it. There's something beyond that going on here that we should be aware of in regarding to the political arena, is there not?
Yes, there is. What I've said for years, that all of our culture wars are basically battles over who is going to have control, editorial control of the dictionary. Okay? If they have control of the dictionary, they have control of the Bible. If they can define terms, then they can define God, man, woman, boy, girl. They can define hate is another term they've defined. Race, racism. So they can say that you're a white supremacist by definition. You are racist by definition. Why? Because we control the dictionary. Right? And quite honestly, there's no defense against that sort of thing. If they're going to condemn you, they're going to condemn you. And you can't do anything about it. There's no need for a trial because you're guilty by definition. Right? And so the issue is what I want to do is every attempt that they make to define a term, I want to challenge them at every instance of it, where they say hate is not a family value, right? Or they want to say there's such a thing as homophobia, someone who's fearful of homosexuals. Well, I've been counseling a lot of people for many, many years. I've been in Christian circles my entire life, and I have never once met someone who had a phobia of homosexuals.
Actually, I think politicians do across the board.
Yeah,
they are the true homophobes. Typically, both on the Democratic and right and the Republican side too.
They're actually the truthophobes. Right. They don't want to say something, however obvious it is and however true it is. They don't want to say anything that's going to get them blowback or to be challenged. And so I don't see where does this homophobia come from? Well, it's just simply decreed as this problem. And all of a sudden, if I am not a practicing Muslim and I think that Islam is a threat, I'm Islamophobic. Well, wait, what happened to just simple disagreement? What happened to opposition? Why do I have to be, are you saying that General Eisenhower was Nazi-phobic? No. But you can be enemies. You can fight. You can be staunchly opposed without having an irrational fear of. So if someone's claustrophobic or someone's agoraphobic or if someone has a true phobia, that is an irrational fear. Fear of flying or fear of heights or fear of open spaces. That's an irrational fear. I've not met anybody who's afraid of homosexuals per se. And if they were, we then have to go on to discuss if it was irrational or not. Is there a real threat there? So basically what this comes back to is control of the dictionary. If they have control of the dictionary, then they get to define race. They get to define racism. They get to define white supremacy. They get to define white privilege. But there are all sorts of worldview assumptions underneath these things. So, for example, if someone says, well, yeah, but you were born in America, a majority white country, so you can't deny that you have white privilege, certain privileges that someone who does not share your ethnic background doesn't have. And I would say, that's right. But that's not a sin. Why isn't when I get to Thanksgiving and I bow my head and say grace over the food, I'm I'm fed and other people are hungry, isn't that a privilege? We're warm, it's cold outside, isn't that a privilege? What are we thanking God for, if not our privileges? When did privilege become a sin?
Right.
Right? Well, it became a sin because they're in control of the dictionary.
Right. And I think that Maxine Waters, living in her multi-million-dollar home, would have a hard time convincing a poor white family from Appalachia that their whiteness gave them any privilege at all in this country.
Right.
So some of it is just absolutely ridiculous, and it's really the hurling of the slander racist everywhere at anyone who disagrees with the leftist agenda. Isn't it really just to neutralize any argumentation and commentary and beliefs that we care to present in the public square? It's like, you know, if you're calling somebody a pedophile or something, immediately, no matter what the person says or does, even if they are completely innocent of this satanic crime, it's going to be hard to overcome such an accusation in the minds of those who are standing there when the accusation is made.
Right. Right. So they're doing it because it works. Right? They're making these accusations against us because we care what they say. One of the things we have to do is we have to stop caring what they're saying. I would put it pretty strongly. If you go to a church and your pastor has not been accused of racism, you need to ask him what he's doing wrong.
That's right. Yeah, and one of the things that is utterly insane about this whole thing is not only is the woke movement, the intersectionality movement, the Black Lives Matter movement, the critical theory movement, not only is it all racist and bigoted and hateful towards white heterosexual males, they are actually, ironically, saying things that are really insulting to people of the black community. For instance, this whole idea of trying to diminish and remove many of the qualifications, such as voter ID, from being able to vote because... well, that's racist because, you know, you're trying to stop black people from voting. It is treating black people like they are incapable of doing a simple task as getting a voter ID, which is just totally untrue. There are many things that that black citizens need to do, just like white citizens and brown citizens and Asian citizens need to do that involve IDs. So, I mean, this is really...
Yeah, like flying on an airplane.
Yeah, exactly. And isn't this whole concept of hurting people's feelings being elevated to such a high level of importance and such a high level of wickedness in the minds of the left... Isn't that in and of itself a bigoted understanding or attitude towards those who are minorities or whoever is the protected group that the left is trying to protect from these hurtful statements? When is it a good thing and a complimentary thing to treat anybody like a fragile, delicate little child?
Right.
When is that a healthy thing to perpetuate that atmosphere in not only a person, like a child growing up, But a nation, how is this a healthy thing?
Yeah, it's demented. So it used to be that you were an offensive person if you said or did an outrageous or offensive thing, right? If you went up to someone and started calling them names or calling their mother names, or if you did this offensive, boorish, rude thing, then you were offensive. But now we've moved it around to you're an offensive person if another person is offended, okay, or acts offended. And all they have to do is act offended. They don't have to show that there was ever any actual contact. So what's happening is we have a world full of women and blacks, race hustlers, homosexuals, who are flopping like Belgian soccer players. So you come within 3 feet of them, and they flip over backwards and start rolling around on the field. And we've gotten to the point where if someone's rolling around on the field holding their knee, then you must have hit them. Right?
Right.
It used to be that you were a vile person if you said something vile. But now you're a vile person if someone else erupts and starts calling you vile names. So if your behavior causes someone else to behave in a vile way, then you're the vile person. Right?
Yeah.
You're the racist if a black person starts yelling at you. Well, because black people are sinners, just like the white people, just like white people are. If you start paying them, if they start getting rewards for false accusations, then guess what? You're going to get more of it. You're going to start getting false accusations.
By the way, folks, it just occurred to me that I should recommend our listeners to listen to the interview I just did very recently with Virgil Walker, who is co-host along with Daryl Bernard Harrison of the Just Thinking podcast, and he's also the executive director of operations at the G3 Ministries, the ones who conduct the G3 conference. I conducted an interview with Virgil that turned out to be utterly fascinating on the Southern Baptist conventions caving in to the woke movement. In fact, in the title of our interview, I identified it as how a denomination that was purged of liberalism could go back and poison itself at the very same well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really insane thing going on with that denomination. But when we come back from our final break, which is going to be a lot shorter than the other two breaks, I'd like you to discuss the whole concept of why any affection towards Confederate history in this country is not a sign necessarily that a person is hateful and bigoted. And
right.
And we'll have you address that when we return. If anybody wants to join us, our email address again is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Doug Wilson right after these messages from our sponsors.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Bodie Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's G, the number 3, conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all. Fellowshipping with the
family. When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White of the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially.
Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody's ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Welcome back. This is our final segment of today's interview with Doug Wilson. And if you have a question, I would suggest that you send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. And before the break, I had mentioned that we were going to be entering now a very controversial issue that even I would imagine divides a lot of conservative Bible-believing Christians and even Reformed ones. That's the whole concept of how to view the Confederacy historically. Should there ever be any affection towards the Confederacy and those that were well-known figures fighting for the cause of the Confederacy? Robert E. Lee comes to mind as a figure that many Reformed Christians, even if they're Yankees, seem to have a great affection for, and I think he is a greatly misunderstood figure as well. But if you could tell us about that, what your thoughts are on that.
Sure. The American Civil War is probably one of the most written about historical events ever. You know, it's a fascinating thing to historians and biographers and so forth. But one of the things that I think we need to kind of grips with is that after the war, that war killed over 600,000 Americans. All right, so it was a devastating judgment from God on both North and South. It was a really hard providence, very hard providence. One of the things that the country did in coming back together and I'm saying after Reconstruction and so forth. One of the things that the cooler heads on both sides decided to do was they made a peace by both sides being proud of how both sides fought. Right? So think about this for a minute. Up until recent memory, the United States Navy was naming ships after Stonewall Jackson, for example.
Right.
Right? So you had this great civil war, and when the South was brought back into the Union, and it was bumpy and horrendous in lots of ways. The reason it was navigated at the end of the day was because both sides embraced how both sides fought. Right, it was sort of embraced as a civil war. Now, what's happened in the last half generation is that deal, that treaty, is being broken. Right? And it's not being broken because certain Yankees have decided to declare war on the South again. It's being broken because the woke want to declare war on America. They want to go after the South and the North. That's why when these statues have been pulled down, they've been pretty indiscriminate about, is that a Union general or a Southern Confederate general? Well, we're not sure, and it doesn't matter.
Even abolitionists' statues have been desecrated and torn down.
Right, and black soldiers who fought for the North, a memorial for them was desecrated. So basically what this is an attempt to get us going at each other's throats again. And what we need to do is resist the woke. Wokeness is not the cure. Wokeness is the disease. So I can believe that Robert E. Lee was a conscientious Christian man, and look up to him and honor him, as I do, and respect him, as I do, and not believe that slavery was a positive good, like food, air, and sunshine. Robert E. Lee didn't believe that.
Yes, I understand that he used to have debates over the legitimacy of slavery with Stonewall Jackson.
Yeah.
And so it is obviously we could take 2 hours talking about that one issue itself, but what do you say about, how do you respond to, there are Christian men who would be right on the same page with us. I mean, even you and I differ on many things theologically, but they would be relatively on the same side on many issues, and yet they would say a statue is a statue. It's not a human being. If it offends people, let them take it down. Let them take the Confederate flags down, because even if you view it one way that may have some nobility to it, too many people are going to be offended by it and not unnecessarily hurt by it. How do you react to that attitude that even some of my personal friends have?
Yeah, I would say, okay, great. How about the American flag?
Right.
Right. The American flag flew over slave owners, didn't it? Right. The American flag is flying over a country that has killed 60 million unborn children. Do we take that down? What is basically, when you're capitulating, you don't know where it's going to stop. Winston Churchill once said that an appeaser is someone who throws everybody else to the crocodiles, hoping to be the last one eaten. Appeasement doesn't work. Right? You're just not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to say, oh, I don't care that much about the romantic legends of the Old South. We can just give in, and it's going to stop and go away. Well, the answer is no, it's not going to stop and go away. Then you take the Redskins out of the Washington Redskins, and they're going to be back next year demanding you take the Washington out of the Washington Redskins.
Right. And in fact, from what I understand, there were hardly any Native Americans who were opposed to that name. In fact, they were somewhat proud of it.
Right. Right. In other words, the wokeness, one of the things that people have to understand is this woke business is really a white problem.
Right.
Right? White suburban Karen moms.
Yeah, and the one of the evidences of that is that as long as I've been a Christian, I've noticed something very interesting, in regard, especially being from New York originally. The black community, even when they identify with liberal politics and vote for Democrats and campaign for Democrats, they have, as a people typically in the community, still nonetheless been opposed to same-sex marriage, opposed to homosexuality as a practice, and yet this whole woke movement has that as one of its highest reasons to promoting those things as one of its highest reasons for existence.
Yep.
Well, we are out of time now, and I want to make sure that our listeners have all of your contact information. Well, actually, let's see if I can squeeze in a quick question from a listener. From Palm Bay, Florida, Thomas, wondering if Pastor Wilson has read the article by Kevin DeYoung, and it's a Gospel Coalition article, so I couldn't even give you the website. It's too long. Do you know? Are you familiar with what he's talking about?
The recent one about that he was talking about the four different types of
yes,
reform types. Yeah, I read it the other day and appreciated it very much.
Okay, well, thank you, Thomas. In fact, I think you're a first-time questioner. Send me a full mailing address because you've just won a free New American Standard Bible by virtue of being a first-time questioner. Well, once again, I want to let our listeners know that if they want to find out more about Christ Church of Moscow, Idaho, you could go to christkirk.com. That's Christ, K-I-R-K, the Scottish word for church, christkirk.com. And also to find out more about Doug Wilson himself, DougWills.com, DougWills, abbreviation for Doug Wilson, DougWills.com. Thank you so much for being such an excellent guest on the program. I look forward to your frequent return to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, brother.
Thanks much. Thanks for having me.
I want everybody to have a safe, blessed, and happy weekend, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.